Today, Senate Democrats blocked a Republican police reform bill from advancing, calling it an inadequate response to police violence. The House will vote on its proposal tomorrow.
Meanwhile, if early results from yesterday's primaries are a sign of what's to come in November, people who are currently holding office should be worried. Progressive Democrats say a wave of support lifted their candidates in some of the five states where the polls were open amid social unrest and a pandemic that has led to a surge of mail-in voting that is delaying results. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson has been poring over these results. And Mara, let's start with New York. Longtime Congressman Elliot Engel appears to be losing by double digits to the progressive newcomer Jamal Bowman and Carolyn Maloney. These are both senior Democrats, barely ahead of her challenger, Suraj Patel. What is the message, do you think, that Democratic voters are sending?
I think that the message Democratic voters are sending in these very blue districts is that they want their representatives to move to the left. The center of gravity in the Democratic Party is moving left, maybe not as far and as fast as the center of gravity in the Republican Party moved to the right. But there's no doubt that the base of the Democratic Party, which is extremely energized this year, is voting for newer, younger, more progressive Democrats. They aren't huge ideological issues, but this is very much like the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez versus Crowley race. He was a member of the leadership. She was young. She was Latina. And so I think that that's the trend in Democratic districts. What we haven't seen yet is very progressive candidates, the kind of candidates that Bernie Sanders and AOC would endorse, flipping a red district blue. That we haven't seen yet. But in this, these super blue districts, there are older establishment Democrats who are in danger of losing their seats in a primary.
Well, speaking of trying to flip a red seat blue, let's talk about what's been happening in Kentucky, where they're trying to figure out which Democrat is going to challenge Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. In November, there was a primary yesterday, and it looks like Charles Booker, who's Kentucky's youngest black state lawmaker, is doing pretty well in the early results against Amy McGrath, who was endorsed by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. What do you see happening there?
Amy McGrath is the establishment candidate. Nobody expected Charles Booker to surge in the way that he has. He's an unabashedly progressive candidate. He's had a very powerful message. He runs ads talking about from the hood to the holler. In other words, he's going to unite a coalition of low-income white rural Kentuckians and inner-city African-Americans. I don't think that either McGrath or Booker have much of a chance to unseat Mitch McConnell. He's the majority leader in the Senate, has a pretty firm grip on a seat. Kentucky is a very red state. But Charles Booker's surge really surprised everyone. Amy McGrath represents the kind of thinking in the Democratic Party that the only way you win in a red state is to be pretty centrist. She's a military veteran. She, you kind of stay in the middle and you hope that you can kind of thread the needle. Charles Booker has a different approach. He's a progressive. He thinks that you can unite people who are hurting economically, whether they are culturally progressive or not, from the hood to the holler. That's what he thinks.
On the Republican side, there was a primary in 24-year-old newcomer Madison Cawthorn, who was not endorsed by President Trump, won anyway in a runoff race in North Carolina to fill Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' seat. This breaks a streak that President Trump had where all the candidates he had endorsed were winning their primaries.
That's right. This is a very red district. It's not going to flip. It's just an insult to Trump. You know, it kind of stings. Trump, of course, turned around right away and congratulated him. Really young guy, as you said, 24-year-old newcomer, Madison Cawthorn. He's partially paralyzed because of a automobile accident. But yes, it just takes some of the shine off of Trump. And it seems like, no, he doesn't have complete control over his party.
Now, the reason that we don't have these results in a lot of cases today is because of a lot of mail-in voting, because of the pandemic. What do you see when you look at that and think about what will happen on election night in November? It may not be clear who wins the night of the election because of all the mail-in ballots.
That's right. We probably, it's very possible that we won't have a winner on election night. And I think there's going to be a big effort to educate people that even if that is the case, We have to wait a little while. It doesn't mean that the election is illegitimate. You know, Donald Trump has been saying a lot of things about mail-in ballots, saying that they represent huge fraud, which is not backed up by any evidence. And as a matter of fact, Republican officials in many red states and swing states want to use mail-in ballots and think they're fine. But Donald Trump has been very adamant. Over and over again, he said that if we have mail-in voting, the election will be rigged. So I just think people have to get ready. We're not necessarily going to know who wins the presidential election on the evening of November 3rd.
Just briefly, Mara, this defeat in the Senate today, Democrats blocking the Republican bill on police reform. The House is going to vote on its bill tomorrow. Do you see them being able to come together and make something happen here?
That is really unclear. I think a lot of this depends on the president. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, he seemed very eager to sign a police reform bill. He immediately got on board with Tim Scott's bill in the Senate. The Democrats, of course, think that doesn't go far enough. And there are a lot of places where the parties can compromise, as in chokeholds. But there are other areas, like getting rid of some of the immunity that police have legally, is going to be a much harder place to compromise.
NPR National political correspondent Mara Liasson, thank you.
Thank you.